Well, as you're standing, take your Bibles and turn them over to a very familiar area of Scripture, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter number 2. And we're going to be in verse 37. Say, preacher, are we going back to the study of the book of Acts? No, we're not, but we are going to revisit this area. Amen. Now, how many remember the preaching that I did on the book of Acts chapter number 2 many years ago? Anybody still remember that? Amen. It's been many years since we've been back in chapter 2. We're on chapter 18 now, but we are going to revisit that today, so it should be a little familiar with you or to you. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Once you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. We're going to read 37 down through verse 40 and talk about a subject matter this morning. Let's go ahead and start together at verse number 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I want to draw your attention to verse number 40. Peter preaching here says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, over the past several years around Memorial Day, I've always tried to preach a message talking about having a spiritual and a successful summer without regrets, being able to go out with your leisure activities and indulge in them and come back with a clean mind and a clean heart, knowing that you haven't done anything to get you in trouble. Amen. And those messages were preached, and especially in this computer media and video age, we need challenges like that to be able to get our free time and get in some good time and not sinful time. And so over the summer months, you and I are going to have some free time. Not at school's out, we got to travel. Some of us are going to go ahead and go on some trips and maybe visit family and visit friends and relatives, and some just going to plain old relax and just let your hair down some. And we want to talk about this morning, how can we avoid the traps and the temptations that the devil uses to lure us when we're not as active as we used to be? And how can he lure us and our families into complacency and to compromise from what we know is right? Because, by the way, he is trying to attack you now more so than when you were in school, amen, because he knows you're not looking for him to attack you. I believe one way is by staying in the local church throughout the summer, no matter where we may go. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
People go on vacation. They go visit family. They go visit friends. And they say, well, I'm not going to church. Amen. The Reyes has came all the way back down from the mountain to be in the house of God today. Amen. Amen. Why? They know it's important. The local church is important. I believe that staying in the local church, no matter where we go, can help keep us on track from what Peter calls the untoward generation. By the way, you and I are living in an untoward generation. Say, preacher, what does that mean? I'm going to explain it to you in a few minutes, amen. But trust me, the same way that they had this untoward generation there, and the same way Peter said you need to save yourselves from this untoward generation, you and I need to be safe from this untoward generation, because it's not backing down, it's not backing off, it's not backing away, amen. It's going to be here. You and I need to do our dead level best to make sure we can have a summer that's going to be successful and saintly without any regrets after it's all said and done. Father, help us now today as we grab a hold of the importance of the local church. Lord, help us to grab the importance of being surrounded by good, godly folk. Lord, help us to be surrounded by the understanding that the local church is the agency and that that organism that you have put together to keep us right and to get us right and to keep us right. Lord, help us to recognize some of the truths that are spoken here in this passage of Scripture. Peter is preaching to a group of folks that were religious. that ended up getting saved and getting right with God. And they wanted to stay that way. And as a result, Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. They did certain things here that would help them. And God help us today as well as we go and do our summer activities, not to lose track of what you would have for us to do. Lord, help us to get our minds in gear, get our lives on track, and to do that which is pleasing in thy sight. Lord, I pray there's one today that needs to be saved from this untoward generation. You would impact and impress upon them the great need to be born again. Lord, may you impress upon them the Holy Spirit's calling that at the end of this life, if they're not born again, is a Christless eternity. And that is not your desire for any man, woman, boy, or girl. Lord, the love of God is beckoning and calling this morning. And I pray for that one that is wavering in the balance, that one that's only been religious, that one that's only doing a routine or rituals, that they would turn to Jesus Christ for righteousness today and embrace his death, his burial, and his resurrection for the forgiveness of their sin. Then for us as saved people, as Christians, Lord, help us to be mindful that we still need to be safe from this untoward generation. And help us to do that which is pleasing in thy sight. That when it's all said and done, we can go back to school. We can go back from our activities. We can go back from our rest and relaxation, our travels and our leisure and our trips. And we can say, I've kept God first in everything that I've done. And I've made sure that my pathway is clean and clear of sin. Help us, Lord, to stay in the right relationship with you over these summer months. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Almost work for good to thee. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
Amen. Thank you, men, for that special. Amen. What a blessing. And Jesus Christ can make the vilest sinner clean. And I am joined with Paul. Say, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Well, amen. I am so glad you're here today talking about how we can live in the untoward generation today. And that's the topic of what we're looking at today, knowing that many of us are going to go some places today or this year, I should say, throughout the summer months. And there are going to be some things that we're going to see, and we're going to make sure that we need to stay away from certain things that are out there. And now, does my mind deceive me? Is that Lynette Bennett? Grant, amen. Lynette Grant, amen. That's Pastor Bennett's daughter right there, amen. He was just here a couple months ago. Good to have you with us today, Lynette, amen. And you got a friend with you as well? Alice, good to have you guys with us today. What a surprise and what a shock to have you here today. Amen. Praise God. Good to have them from San Diego. Amen. So living in the untoward generation, as we're talking about, because we do want to have that spiritual and successful summer as we go out and do certain things this year. And, you know, not trying to put anybody in a box or in a container, but there's certain things that Christians just ought not do over the summer months. I mean, it's just to face it, amen. Certain things that we shouldn't do. And Paul here, Peter is preaching here at the Pentecost when the Holy Spirit has come upon them, and their people are here are preaching and teaching the Word of God. And the Jews have gathered here, and they heard them speaking in languages there in Acts chapter number 2. And notice down in verse number 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? And so Peter takes the opportunity after the Spirit of God came upon them and descended upon them. They began to speak in tongues or other languages, and they heard that. And as a result of that, Peter took advantage of this occasion to teach them some things about the Lord Jesus Christ so that they could be saved. But what we're looking at today is how can we avoid the untoward generation or living in the untoward generation? Go back up to verse number 40 with me. And he says, and with many other words, this is Peter preaching, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. The phrase save yourselves means to deliver or protect, to heal or to preserve yourself. So he's saying, in other words, protect yourself, preserve yourself from this. There's a generation out here, and that you need to be careful of that. The word untoward means to be perverse, winding, or crooked, or warped. And so, in other words, to be going not straight toward God. G2, he's 11 years old. Come here for a minute, G2. It's his birthday today. I'm putting G2 on the spot. So Peter is saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So that is the direction that God is in right there. And let's say G2 is Mr. Christian. And Mr. Christian here is going toward God, amen? And so he's going towards God. But now the Bible says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That means they're crooked. They're going this way, maybe towards religion. Or maybe they're going this way, and maybe towards some ritual. Or maybe they're going this way towards some routine. Or maybe they're just rejecting Christ out and out, and they're going this way, amen? And Peter is saying, you know, you need to save yourselves from this untoward generation. They're not going right. They're crooked. They're warped, and they're not going right. Now, if I'm going to be right with God, I got to stay away from religion. I've got to stay away from ritual. I've got to stay away from routine. I've got to stay away from rejection, and I've got to go towards righteousness, because that's the path.
But all along, there's going to be some detours. There's going to be some pulls at me. Amen. Maybe the religion is going to pull me this way. The routine is going to pull me this way. The ritual and routine and rejection is going to be. And I'm just going to be a mess.
Yes, sir, Pastor,
yes. By the way, if you're not careful living a Christian life, you can just be a mess. You can get pulled by so many things out there that you thought you were going towards God, but you're not even going towards God anymore. Why? You got yourself involved in ritual. You got yourself involved in routine. You got yourself involved in a whole lot of other things that could be posing themselves for Christ-likeness, but it's not. Hey, there's only one way, and that way is righteousness, and that righteousness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Peter, after preaching about Jesus and his death and his burial and his lineage and where he came from and David and all that, he says, now, I want to tell you something, folks. You need to save yourselves from this untoward generation. And you know what? My warning today to you is the same thing. Over the summer months, you need to save yourselves from this untoward generation. It is out there. It's pulling on you. It's constantly bombarding you. It's bombarding your eyeballs. It's bombarding your nose. It's bombarding your ears. Amen. It's bombarding your fingers. It's bombarding your feet. Amen. Everywhere you go, it's bombarding you. It's always coming towards you. Amen. And its goal and its design is to pull you away from going towards God. And friend, let me tell you something. Well-meaning Christians get caught up in it all the time. Well-meaning Christians getting lulled to sleep. So I was going right for, by God, but where has the summer gone? And what did I do for God? And what souls did come to Christ because of me? Where did all the time go? May I submit to you that maybe you followed the untoward generation? May I submit to you that while you were on your trips and your travel and with friends and with family, may I submit to you that maybe, just maybe, the untoward generation got you off the path when you should have been going towards righteousness? Let me tell you something, friend. There's souls all around you that need to be saved. Wherever we go, there's somebody that needs to be saved. And maybe, just maybe, the untoward generation is going to pull at you this summer. Maybe it's pulled at you already. What are you going to do? How can you avoid it? I'm glad Peter gave the solution in this passage. Thank you, G2. Appreciate it. 11 years old. How's it feel being 11? I was going to say the same as it felt being 10. Amen. Today we want to save ourselves or protect ourselves, preserve ourselves from this winding or this crooked generation. Amen. Because the religion is there. The ritual is there. The routine is there. Some have rejected it, but it's not righteous. Amen. We must admit before we got saved, all of us followed the untoward generation. Can I get amen? You know, you did. Amen. You weren't always going towards God because you weren't always right with God. You and I follow the untoward generation. I still like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hey, folks, never forget where you came from. Never forget that you at one time were lost. Never forget that you weren't always right with God. You were an alien when it came to the commonwealth of God or came to the salvation of God. You weren't always saved. Don't you get too big for your britches and put your nose up in there and think you're a holier than thou or mightier than someone else because you're not. The minute you think you are, Satan's got you right where he wants you. Amen. The untoward generation. We're still living in an untoward generation. It's still pulling on us. It's a generation that's not going towards God or godliness like we are. And its traps and temptations must be avoided in order to keep gaining ground for God and not to lose ground to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Say, preacher, how can I spot the untoward generation? How can you miss the untoward generation? Amen. But to give you a couple ideas on how you can spot the untoward generation, because it's all around us. Amen. And some of the things that mark it is immorality. You know, you're going to see some immorality this summer. Amen. Adultery, fornication. It's out there, folks. I mean, you turn on the TV, you see all sorts of immoral situations and scenes. And this generation thinks nothing of it. Let me tell you something. You watch it enough, you're going to get caught up with it as well. Immorality. Not only immorality, the untoward generation is marked by nudity. Amen. Folks are quick to take everything off they got and show everything they got. Amen. By the way, folks don't need to see everything you got. All right, y'all getting quiet on me. Save that for your husband. Save it for your wife. Amen. It's marked by immorality. It's marked by nudity. It's marked by homosexuality. You know that's on the rise now. Same-sex marriages is getting a big boost now. And so the untoward generation, they don't see anything wrong with same-sex marriage. Immorality, nudity, homosexuality, abnormality, shacking up. Amen. That's still not right by God. Say, preacher, but everybody's doing it. I'm still saying it's abnormal. Can I get amen? I know society accepts it. I know society says, well, you live long enough together, then you have this agreement and blah, blah, blah. What does God say about it? God still says it's sin. God still says it's shacking up. God still says it ain't right. Amen. So I don't care what society has to say. At the end of the day, society's got no heaven to put you in, no hell to put you in. Amen. Amen. But society embraces it as long as they love each other. If they love each other, why don't you get married? Well, we can just have our babies and we can just have an agreement. Okay. How about if God just gave you that when it came to heaven? We'll just give an agreement. And anytime you get ready, I'll just let you go and you go to hell whenever you want to. We don't like that. We want God to hold us. We want God to hold us. Hey, how about giving the young lady a commitment? How about giving her an agreement that says, I'll stay with you. I've got a covenant. I'm going to leave you, not never leave you until the day that I die. Till death do we part, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness, in health. I don't care what happens. How about that? That's what God said. But a preacher, just let them get to know each other. Let them get to marry each other. Then get to know somebody. Amen. Hey, you can't be an employee at Walmart without signing up, can you? You got to sign an agreement. You can't work at the hospital unless you sign up, can you? Hey, you can't go to the military unless you sign up, can you? But we want to live together and see we can do the same thing. No, you cannot. You're not right with God. It's an untoward generation. And folks, I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you get taken away by and say, it's okay, here we go, let's accept it. No, let's not accept it, let's reject it. Amen. I'm saying this society, this untoward generation is marked by these things. Immorality, nudity, homosexuality, abnormality. Profanity is another one. Cursing, just vile language. Everywhere you go now, folks got to use a curse word. Hey, but wait a minute. And such were some of you. I remember I couldn't formulate a sentence without using a curse word. I had to get a whole new vocabulary. And if it's not profanity, then it's vulgarity. A bunch of crude innuendos when you say one thing, knowing you mean something else, but you don't really want to use the profanity, but you use a vulgarity, a crude innuendo. What am I saying here? This is the untoward generation. Then it's marked by plurality, many gods. Well, your God is not any different than my God. I beg to differ. My God has a son. His name is Jesus Christ. He died for the sin. He was buried for the sin. He rose the third day. Amen. And I can be saved because of that. Amen. My God is different. It's not like your God. Amen. If it's not plurality, it's a bunch of liberality. Anything goes. Well, preacher, just live and let live. You'll die too. Amen. That's what this generation is made up of. And that's what it's marked by. Immorality, nudity, homosexuality, abnormality. By the way, folks, these are not popular things. Because the average folks accept these things. And they say these things are okay. But I have a book here that says it's not okay. I have a God who says it's not okay. I have the Apostle Peter here who's preaching who says it's not okay. And he says, hey, look, you need to save yourselves from this crooked, untoward, or perverse generation. But also, let me give you something else that we need to watch out for. Not just immorality, nudity, homosexuality, abnormality, and profanity, and vulgarity, and plurality, and liberality. Let's step on some fundamental toes, amen. Legality. Watch out for legality. Say, preacher, what is that? Pharisaical fundamentalism. Stuffed box, carbon copy Christianity. I hate it. Stuffed box, carbon copy Christianity. Every church needs to be like the next one. You can't get that by the New Testament. You can't get that by Philippi. You can't get it past Thessalonica. You can't get it past Galatia. You can't get it past Corinth. You can't get it past Romans. You can't get it by any of the new churches. They were all different. But you got to have stuff boxed, or you got to come in here and you got to button up your top button, because that's what fundamental preachers do. You got to have on black rim glasses. Got to wear all black suits. You got to look like you had a bad day, because that's what fundamental Christians look like. And you can't smile, because fundamental Christians don't have fun. And when you sing, it's got to be like this: praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. You can't smile. What I'm talking about, stuff-box Christianity. Carbon copy Christianity. Got to be like everybody else. Well, if you don't sing it the way we sing it, then you're not right with God. Well, if you don't say it the way we say it, then you're not right with God. If you don't have it the way we have it, then you're not right with God. If you don't do it the way we do it, then you're not right with God. Because fundamental people do it this way. And hey, let's just get rid of that. I've got a book here that's called The Bible. And God just let Christians be Christians. Yes, they had doctrine. Yes, they had standards. Yes, they had some things. But guess what? They were different. And I'm telling you, if we're not careful, we can become legal. We can get caught up in legality. And we're no different than the immorality in the other crowd. One thing that made Jesus Christ a sick was the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. Got on his nerve because they said, well, Jesus, you didn't do it by the book. You took your disciples out there and rubbed some wheat together and you ate that stuff. And it's the Sabbath day. Jesus, you healed on the Sabbath day. And according to this, then you must not be of God. You healed this blind man's eyes and told him to take up his bed. And oh, you must not be of God. You must be of the devil. You must be of the devil. Anybody going to call my Jesus got a devil has got the devil.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
But you know, we get caught up in this legality. It's got to be a certain way. I'm glad in 2 Corinthians 3:17, Paul said, now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But he went on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. He said, mind what you do around others because others may not understand what you're doing. In Galatians 2:4, Paul said it this way, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ. He said they sent in some spies to see what we were doing. We had a ham sandwich and so somebody got mad. He said, they sent some spies in here to bring us back into bondage of the law. Wait a minute. Jesus came to set us free from that. And so when we get caught up in legality, we're no better than all the ones with the immorality. We're still going toward the untoward generation because we're involved in this religion and this ritual and this routine. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Amen.
Hallelujah and praise God. I'm glad I don't have to be like the next church down the road. I'm glad I don't have to be like the next pastor over here. I'm glad I don't have to be like this brother over here. I'm glad I don't have to be like any of that. Now, I can learn from them. I can grow from them. But at the end of the day, God speaks to me. Amen. But you know what? We're going to go this summer. We may get in one of those churches. And guess what? If you don't have your top button, they may say, Mr. Duffy, don't have your top button. You must not be fundamental. And you've got a red shirt on, too. Crimson. Does that stand for the blood of Jesus? If it doesn't, you're not right with God, because fundamental preachers don't wear that kind of stuff. Now, you got the right glasses on, so we approve of that. But we don't approve of anything else that you have. And you got a colored Bible, too? Did you know that's for colored people? Are you colorblind or something? I'm telling you, that's the way some people are in some fundamental churches. They're so legalistic. They're so straight. They're so staunch. They're so cut. And wait a minute, that's not God. When the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if we're not careful over the summer months, we can get caught up with this same legality, the same mentality. Peter said, save yourselves from this. Amen. This is God help you. Amen. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, he told them. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And Galatians 5:13, Paul said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Peter had the same sentiment in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. And so Acts chapter 2 over here, Peter, the same Peter is preaching. He says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. They're crooked. They're not going right. They're going in some totally different direction than where you're going. And the Jews from all over the world have assembled at Pentecost. They hear Peter preaching. Peter, having their attention, preaches to them Jesus Christ, and they begin to ask some questions. Men and brethren, what shall we do in verse number 36? Notice what he says. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Said unto Peter, the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what should we do? By the way, Peter has been talking to them the whole time. Notice what it says down there in verse 22. He says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." Begin talking about Jesus of Nazareth. Come down here to verse number 29. "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David." They had no problems with David. But he said, let me tell you about Jesus, about David. He said, David is dead, but Jesus is alive. Amen. And there's a seed. And so when he comes down here to verse 36, he says, you need to understand something. The man that you crucified, the man who you hung up on the tree, the man named Jesus Christ, the man who you rejected, that same Jesus is Lord and Christ. He's the anointed. He is the Savior. He is the risen one. He is the Messiah. He is the one that you need to have. Amen. And there is no other. Hey, by the way, you have him, that'll put a stop to immorality. That'll put a stop to nudity. That'll put a stop to vulgarity and homosexuality, abnormality. Put a stop to all that legality. Put a stop to all that. Why? In Jesus Christ, I have liberty. I'm free in Christ. Amen. That's not a yoke of bondage anymore. They asked a question in verse 37. What shall we do upon hearing the preaching? Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them what they should do. Notice how the untoward generation can be avoided or lived in by you or I based upon what Peter told them. First of all, as you go out this summer, if you're going to avoid this untoward generation, if you're going to live in this untoward generation, there must be preaching of the word of God around you consistently. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Don't get away from the preaching of God's word over the summer months. Wherever you go, find you a local church. Lynette's from San Diego. Guess where? She's in church. The Reyes are up in the mountain. Guess where they're at? In church. Amen. Hey, what am I saying? Over the summer months, don't you get away from the house of God. I don't care where you go. You go visit family, go to church. You go to go with your friends, go to church. Amen. You go on a trip, go to church. Wherever you go, go to church. Don't run away from church. Why? You need the house of God. You need the local church. Amen. Don't get some watered down version of the Bible, a smooth talking preacher. Amen. Who don't care nothing about God. Got the wrong version of the Bible. Get somewhere where your toes can get stepped on. Amen. Don't get no place where they ain't going to tell you what's right. And how to get right and how to stay right. What am I saying? Get where you can get your toes stepped on and told the truth about sin, about yourself, and about Satan. Because if you get away from the house of God, guess what? You can look pretty good to yourself. Come on now. Hey, what does the Bible say? This is the mirror. If you're not confronted with the mirror, guess what? You forget you got something on you. Brother Hall got me this morning coming out. I had my collar all stuck up like this. Now, I can't see behind me. I didn't look in the mirror. And I come walking out of my office, and he said, "Brother, Pastor, let me help you out." And he started pulling stuff down. I said, "Was that sticking up?" He said, "Yeah, it was." Why? I didn't have a mirror. Guess what this is? This is the mirror. Amen. This shows you what's wrong. And what am I saying? Hey, if you want to avoid the untoward generation, you better get in this book every day. You need to get it open, get in its pages, amen, and wear it out so that God can wear you out in a good way, in a good way. He said, "Preacher, wear out the stuff that you don't need. Wear out the wrinkles in your life. Wear out the sin in your life. Wear out the things that don't please God. Wear out the unrighteousness in your life. Wear out the things that's the untoward generation. Wear it out. Why? Because he's this way. And if I've got that book before me, I need to go this way. But if I do like this, guess what? The untoward generation is going to call me. It's going to call me on this side. Religion is going to call me. Ritual is going to call me. Routine is going to call me. Rejection is going to call me. Preacher, I don't need that. I had some of that yesterday." Well, you had water yesterday. You had some today too, don't you? "Well, I don't need water every day." You'll surely perish, especially in Arizona. Amen. Amen. "I don't need to have none of that." Yes, you do. Hey, what am I saying? If we're going to live in the untoward generation over the summer months, we've got to make sure that we get to a place where there's some preaching of the word of God. Amen. Wherever we go, there's always a local church you can go to. Amen. Always a place you go. Hey, by the way, it's not going to be like this place. Don't expect it to be this place. This place is this place. That place will be that place. And don't try to get in there and make them do what we do in this place, because that's that place. This is this place. "Well, our preacher doesn't say it like that," because that ain't that preacher. Amen. You say, "Our preacher says ain't." Yeah, that preacher might not say ain't. You're not grammatically correct. I wasn't trying to be. I'm just preaching. "Well, preacher, you need to get it scripted out." I got it as scripted as I need it. And Lord, you give it to me the way I need to have it so I can give it to them the way they need. You say, well, you need to do this, you need to do that. Well, you need to pray for me. And by the way, when you go on vacation, pray for the preacher that you're going to sit underneath.
Amen.
Why? Because he's feeding you for the day. He's stepping on your toes for the day. I was so glad we got up there to Alfred King's church. He said, we're going to talk about rest. And we thought, yes, that's what I'm talking about, rest. Get a lazy boy out and have a good time. He said, I'm not talking about that rest. And I was like, oh, man. But he was talking about the rest that we have in the Lord. And he said, the rest that we get for our bodies and things like that, he said, that's all fine. That's all good. He said, but the rest that God gives us is better. It's better. And he was right. It was. And I mean, you say, preacher, oh, we didn't think you was going to go to church when you was up there. You think I'm going to be backslidden? Where do you think preachers go when they go away? To church. To another church. One that's going to preach the Bible. Amen. When I go back to Atlanta to visit my folks, guess what? I go to Lynette's dad's church, Calvary's Harvest Baptist Church. Say, preacher, why don't you go to another church? Because that's the best one around.
Amen.
So why go to another? Amen. Hey, if I like brownies, amen, and you offer me something else, amen, I like that. This is good. This is good stuff. Hey, what am I saying here? As you go away this summer to save yourselves from this untoward generation, you've got to have some preaching of the Word of God. Number two, something else that's here. There must be some pricking by the Word of God. Notice down there in verse 37. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Why? They had crucified Jesus Christ. They knew they were guilty. By the way, when you come in the house of God and the Word of God begins to go out, you should get pricked in your heart if you're not right with God. There should be a little stabbing that goes on. There should be a little prodding that goes on. There should be a little poking that goes on that says, whoo, whoo, whoo. You're guilty. There should be a little ouch. There should be a lot of, There should be some of that, I don't feel good. It should be some curling back of the toes. It should be some, ooh, preacher. By the way, it's not me. I haven't followed any of you guys around this week. I haven't even been in town. So I don't know what y'all did all week. And so when the preaching goes out, I don't have a bunch of spies out on y'all.
Amen.
You know, you got the Baptist police out there. They're spying on people. They have their binoculars out. Ooh, radio back to pastor. We saw somebody go into the liquor store. Ooh, radio to pastor. I saw somebody down there standing on the corner selling drugs. Get that back to pastor. Ooh, look at that. They're watching that vile movie. Get that back to pastor. Ooh, look at them. They're stealing over there in that store. Get that back to pastor. All right, pastor, you got your list. Yeah, the folks were stealing this weekend. Folks, I don't have time for that. I got my own sin I got to worry about. I ain't got time for y'all's. God beat me up through the week when I'm getting the messages ready. And so what am I saying here? That there's got to be some preaching of the Word of God, but there's got to be some pricking by the Word of God. Amen. These folks were pricked in their heart. By the way, don't get tired of the pricking and convicting power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God over to someone else. That's God's way of getting Christians right.
Amen.
By the way, that's how I got saved.
Amen.
Came into that church over there in Belgium. Lynette was small at that time.
Amen.
1991. I mean, she was 12 at the time, I think, 11, something like that. Because we took the teens over not too long ago. Guess what? I got pricked in my heart. I stepped in that church, and Pastor Bennett got to preaching that Bible, and I thought, glory to God. And Lynette, we were still in the German church, which I never wanted to leave, which you know that story. Amen. And I got pricked in my heart. What am I saying? Hey, there must be some pricking by the Word of God. That's what gets us right. That's what helps us stay right in this untoward generation. It's easy to get lulled to sleep by sin, self, and Satan. Amen. Why? When I don't get into the mirror, when I don't get preaching, when I don't get pricked, it's easy to get pulled.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hey, we took Faith horseback riding for her birthday. Joshua had a stubborn horse. That horse wouldn't go. Had to beat him to get him to go. But guess what? What got him to go? Getting poked, getting prodded, getting beat. She said, kick him. And Joshua's kicking light. She's like, no, kick him. He had to pow. And guess what? That horse got up then, got over there and started eating some stuff. She said, beat him in the head. How many of y'all horse riders are out there? So you know I'm not talking about beat, beat, beat. You know, I'm talking about, you know, you hit him on the side with the little thing there to get him to go. Yeah, I'm not talking about get a stick. Some of y'all think, that's animal cruelty. Amen. I'm not talking about that. Talking about making them go. Hey, back in the days on the Cowboys used to wear those spurs. You know what got them to go? Give them a little kick like that. And guess what? You get poked like that, I bet you go too. Hey, what did it say? It said when they were pricked in their hearts, hey, they got spurred. Yeah, the Holy Spirit said, yeah, that's you. Yeah, you crucified. Yeah, this guilty. You. And they said, oh, men and brethren, what shall we do? Hey, you need that. Hey, over the summer months, you need that. Hey, every Sunday, you need that. Sunday night, you need that. Wednesday, you need that. Why? It's going to help get you going. I would say, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the other apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Hey, it's easy to get lulled asleep by sin, self, and Satan. There must be preaching of the word, verse 36, pricking by the word, verse 37. Something else is going to keep us right in this untoward generation, verse number 38. There must be the promises of the word of God, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And he's talking about repent, first of all, change your mind from who Christ is and receive him, and then be baptized, showing that your testimony of your salvation. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the remission, in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice this, for the remission of sins, or because your sins have been remitted, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. There must be promises of the word of God. It's one thing to preach, another thing to get pricked, but I need to have a promise. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Hey, it's good to know that I'm heaven bound. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't stop claiming the promises of God over the summer months. There are literally thousands of promises in the Bible. Claim them. Salvation is only one. Hey, I'm heaven bound and hell proof. That's only one promise. There are more. Hey, I'm hell proof, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John 10:28. That's a promise. I'm hell bound, heaven bound, hell proof. Amen. I'm forgiven if we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. When you do get taken away by the untoward generation, guess what? Aren't you glad to know that you can be forgiven? Hey, I don't care where I went as a kid. I knew I could always come back home. I could have done some vile things, some filthy things, some wrong things. But I knew at the end of the day, there was someone called Al Dawson and Mary Dawson who was going to take me back in. And I could be forgiven. I could be restored. I could be in fellowship again. I could still be their son. No matter where I go, no matter what I did, I would always be a Dawson. It was in my blood. Amen. And guess what? I'm glad to know I'm heaven bound. I'm hell proof. I'm forgiven. You're going to need that over the summer. Don't get away from it. The devil will try to convict you and make you feel bad. Don't go back to God. You know you're going to do the same thing over again. I'll just keep going back 1,000 times. Amen. I remember I had some stumbling sins early on in my Christian life. Man, I was ashamed to come back before God. That's just what the devil wants you to think. The only way you're going to get forgiven is by the blood, through the blood of Jesus Christ. It cleanses us over and over and over again. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us of all sin. Devil wants you to turn away from that blood. He don't want you to see that blood. He wants you to turn way away and say, well, I'm just a guilty old sinner. I guess I might as well stay in the untoward generation. And maybe one day I might get it right. But until then, I still have it. Guess what? You can't win anybody to Christ over here. You live a defeated Christian life. That's not the liberty that Christ wants you to live in. That's chains. That's bondage. The liberty is in Christ. His blood has made us free. Amen. Do you know what? Satan doesn't want you to know that you're forgiven. That's a promise. He said, the promise is unto you. I'm heard in heaven. Jeremiah 33:3. Call on me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There must be some pricking by the word. The promises of the word of God. But then there's something else down in verse number 40. There must be progress in the word. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Some progress in the word of God. The untoward generation is here. And we need to keep growing over the summer months as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just because summer is here doesn't mean we stop growing. By the way, do you know that you guys are still going to grow over the summer months? Some of us are going to grow this way. You're going to go to mom and daddy's home. You're going to eat a whole bunch of food and barbecue and whatnot. And you're going to eat, and you're going to grow out. Jesus wants you to grow spiritually, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep growing over the summer months. By the way, we can come back and be so stagnated and so behind times, and we have not done anything for God. And by the way, God wants us to be conquering and overcoming each step of the way, no matter where we go. And so there must be some promises of the Word of God, but progress in the Word. Preacher, how did they progress? I'm glad you asked. There, first of all, there was some discipleship in the Word. Notice what it says down there in verse number 41. Then they that gladly received His Word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Discipleship began to start in their lives here. They followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believers' baptism right after they were saved, and they took that first step. And next one is in verse number 42. And they continued steadfast. So they got submerged, then they were steadfast in this thing, amen. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayers. They wanted to be around each other. What is that? Being in a local church. I don't care where you go, get in a local church. Hey, wherever we go, we try to get in a local church. I remember we went back to Illinois one time. They had a vacation Bible school. You know what we did? We got in a vacation Bible school. I went TDY one time. Down to Italy. They had a vacation Bible school and a Christmas program. You know what we did? Vacation Bible school and a Christmas program. Amen. Say, preacher, but you're not even a member. That's beside the point. It's local church. I got involved. What am I saying? There should be discipleship. There should be some things going on in my life. There should be some going along, some growth in my Christian life. There should be some progress in the Word of God. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Some other things that happen as well, not just some steadfastness and some submerging, some sanctification happened in verse 43. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. There was a separation between them and everybody else. And it says down there in verse number 44, and all that believed were together in all things common. They had a single-heartedness about themselves. And something else, they got sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And in verse 46, they got spiritual as well. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Now, if I said we're going to have church every day, y'all would fall down dead.
Amen.
But you know, some of the Pentecostals have church every day. Every day. Amen. We tell y'all come Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, preacher, oh, you're asking a hard thing. Three times in a day. You eat three times a day, don't you? Preacher, don't go there. Hey, if that's going to help you grow, guess what's going to help you spiritually? You know, Pastor White, you say three to thrive. I say you need three just to survive. You need Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You need three just to survive this untoward generation. Why? It's constantly pulling at you. It's an untoward generation. They're not going towards God. And so these folks were big on discipleship. But then not only did they have discipleship down there with the steadfastness, being submerged and sanctified and single heart and spiritual, they had some delight about themselves around the Word of God. Notice verse 47. It says down there, praising God. They had delight. They were praising. You know, you can't help but praise God when great things happen by God. I mean, you think about it. Praising God, that's a great thing. When souls get saved, you praise God. When you get your toes step on, praise God. Say, preacher, what am I praising God? Because God is showing you you're not right, and He wants you to be right with Him. Praising God and having favor with all the people. There should be some delight around the Word. By the way, if you're leaving and going on vacation to get away from the church and get away from God, guess what? You're going for the wrong reason. Y'all quiet.
Amen.
Now, getting rest and getting a break, praise God. Now, G2 had his way. He said, I want to go to my church on Wednesday. He said, I want to go to my church. I said, G2, this is 5 minutes down the road. I said, we're going to drive 30 minutes all the way back down there. Actually, 40 minutes all the way back down to Tucson. He's like, yeah. I said, amen, son. As much as I want to be there, I said, this is a chance for us to check up on our missionary. I said, Brother Alfred King is one of our missionaries. I said, it does our heart good to know that our missions dollars are going into a place where the Word of God is being taught. I said, this is time for us to check up on our missionaries, be a part of their service. And they were glad that we were there. And they gave the little bulletin out there. It shows all the supporting churches. Guess which one was there? Shining Light Baptist Church. And Alfred King said, this is Pastor and Mrs. Dawson and their family. They support us here. Does my heart good to know that we've got a like-minded brother on the other side of town over there in Oral Valley preaching the Word of God. And if you're up in that area, guess what? You can drop in on him. Praise God. And he'd love to have you. What am I saying here? There should be some delight, amen, praising God. The kids got a chance to get involved in Patch. They had their Patch going on up there. And so the kids got a chance to do Patch up there.
Amen.
And I was glad because we got a chance to get some preaching as well. Discipleship is going to keep us away from the untoward generation. Delight can keep us away from the untoward generation. But then a distinction. Notice what it says. And they're praising God and having favor with all the people. There was a distinction about these people. They had favor with them. Amen. Because these people know that they were people of God. These were Christian folk. By the way, if you are naming the name of Christ, you should be exhibiting love. Let me say it again. If you're a Christian, you should be exhibiting love. You should be exhibiting forgiveness. You should be exhibiting all the things that Christ stood for. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. When you don't exhibit those things, guess what? Alfred King was talking about how we as Christians have the rest that everybody needs. And one of the things that we tend not to have is rest. And he says, we go to our workplaces, we go to other places, and we're supposed to have the rest of God on our lives, and we're so unrest that the person that's looking at us doesn't want our rest because our rest is just like their unrest. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen. But yet still, we want to give you what we got, but you're in turmoil because we're not at rest, because we're not in the will of God. And how many times have we been guilty of having a coworker seeing us in a state that we don't need to be in? And we're going to try to give them what we got. Hey, I'm not going to lie to you. I had several people at my workplace before I got saved try to witness to me. You know what I said? I don't want what you got. I don't want what you got. And if what you got is what you're trying to give me, I must already have it because you're just like me. Now, I was still on my way to hell. And they could have been very saved. But guess what? They couldn't show it to me. They gave me nothing that I saw attractive. Lynette Bennett knows Tony Wells. I work with Tony Wells from Mississippi, country as it can be. Amen. Now, Tony Wells had something that was different. He had a different attitude about himself. He had a joy about himself. He had a delight about himself. He had something that was different. And I said, now, there's a man that has something that I need. He's got something called some joy. He's got some peace about him. He seems to have this rest. But I didn't have it. What am I saying? Distinction, favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What am I saying? Progress. You see in verses 40 through 46, discipleship, delight, distinction, diversity. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Look around you. Look at the different colors you see. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. See, when we just do what God is asking us to do and going in and living in this untoward generation, but staying away from this untoward generation, and when we hear the preaching of the Word of God and the pricking of the Word of God, and we hold on to the promises of the Word of God, and we progress with the Word of God and by the Word of God, by natural distinction and discipleship and by delight, God's going to bring diversity in His church because that's what He does. That's God's job. That's God's business. I'm not going to knock on a white door and a black door and a Mexican door and an Oriental door differently and distinctly and avoid the ones that I don't want to go to. I'm going to knock on every door that's in my pathway. We'll give a track out to anybody and everybody I can. Why? The Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, if all blacks come, guess what? Praise God, that's God's doing. It ain't because I went there. Hey, if all Mexicans come, guess what? It ain't going to be because I didn't try to go to somebody else. Hey, if all whites come, guess what? It ain't going to be because I didn't try to go to somebody else. If all singles come, it ain't going to be because I didn't go to somebody else. If all married couples come, it's not going to be because I didn't go to somebody else. If all children come, it's not going to be because I didn't go to somebody else. I'm going to do what God's telling me to do and reach everybody I can. And it's God's job to add to His church daily, such as should be saved. What am I saying? As you go out in your summer months, you need to be in a church that's like that. And let God add to His church who He wants to put in there. Now, I'm not knocking any church that doesn't have any color in it. I'm just saying that's God's business, that's God's job. But I will say this. You can invite or reject somebody by the way you treat them. They come in here with a bunch of tattoos on and a bunch of earrings and toe rings and tongue rings and finger rings and all this other stuff. And you kind of look down at them and say, I'm glad I'm not one of you. And such were some of you. You can run them away and they won't come back. You can run them right off. What am I saying? And such were some of you. Remember where you came from. Amen. The Lord asked you to take church daily such as should be saved, but sometimes we can run them off. Yes. I don't want to sit next to you. Really? Why, you smell. Well, so do you. Just not like you. Hey, we can be that way. Yes, And we can give people the cold shoulder. Amen. And guess what? And the Lord's trying to add to the church daily such as should be saved, but they're not going to stay here. Not long. They've got to feel that love, the love of Jesus Christ. They've got to feel that you care for them. They've got to feel that you love them and you want them to be here. And you invite them in. Guess what? All sorts of kids are going to come through here next week. And they're not going to all be well-behaved kids. They're away from mama and daddy. And this is fresh ground and new blood. And you just happen to be one of those ones. Don't do like I did at Vacation Bible School. And I'll share that with y'all tonight. Lynette probably knows. Don't do like I did. Amen. They will surely not come back. If that family wasn't church members, amen, they probably wouldn't have come back. What am I saying? These simple steps followed by the early Christians in Acts, they follow what Peter said. What did Peter say in verse 40? Again, he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. He said, save yourselves. He said, you know what? You need to do something. You need to protect yourself. There's a generation that's going crooked. They're not going towards God. I've preached to you. I've given you Jesus Christ. You were pricked in your heart. There's some promises that are there. I told you need to get saved. I told you need to get baptized. And guess what? The very next verse, 41, says, they gladly received his word. You know what they did? They saved themselves from that untoward generation. There were added 3,000 souls that day. They far outweighed the disciples that day. There were more of them than there were of the disciples. And what did they do? They stayed steadfast in verse 42. They continued on in verses 45, selling all their possessions. 46, continuing daily in one accord, praising God, having favor with all the people, and God began to add. They began to multiply because they were brought out of the untoward generation. They avoided the untoward generation. They were living in this generation, but they came out of that generation and into the local church. What am I saying? The way to avoid the untoward generation, keep yourself in the local church this summer. Don't miss a beat. Don't miss a service. If you happen to miss one service, get right back on the next one. Hey, I'll be honest with you. There's been times when I was directionally challenged and we got lost and we got to Sunday school late. Sometimes we missed Sunday school. They were saying the last amen, but it ain't because we didn't try to get there. And then it's worse. You get there and they advertise one time, but they change the time the next day and you get there and you missed it. I remember showing up at Crossroads Baptist Church one time, Lynette, and there was nobody in the parking lot because I thought they had church at 6 and it was at 7. I thought, ah, so where's everybody at? Then on Wednesday, they had it at, what was it, 7:30, Lynette? It was late, I know that. And they said because the D.C. traffic is so bad, they had to push it back. We showed it. We thought, ain't no church tonight. Crossroads backslidden tonight, amen. Where's the Bible study at? Something, amen. The crickets was out. You know what I'm saying? It ain't because we didn't try. What am I saying? That keeps you in the right place. That pricking you need. That preaching you need. The promises we need. The progress we need. Hey, because if not, that untoward generation is constantly pulling. Every time you turn on your TV, you see it. You see these ads. You see these commercials. Every time you drive down the road, somebody else don't have no clothes on. Every time you go over here, you see drugs. You see all this stuff, all the immorality, all that stuff pulling at you. And guess what? It can take you. But you know what? As we're going, let's not be so legalistic. Well, they don't do it the way we do it. Well, they're not supposed to do it the way you do it. If they do it God's way, that's all that matters. They do it God's way. And that's what matters. Paul said they spied on us, trying to bring us in bondage. Hey, folks, we don't have time for that. Wherever we may go, let's join up with others of like faith at church and continue to be challenged weekly until the summer months are over. We'll thank God that we did. When it's all said and done, we can come back and say, you know what, had a great time, saw folks saved, got a chance to witness, got a chance to hand out some tracts, got a chance to do this, this, and the other. Amen, because the untoward generation is relentlessly pulling us in daily with the movies, the magazines, the music, the media. It's all around us. Are you going to save yourselves from this untoward generation this summer? I hope so. Let me add this. If you're not saved here today, you need to be saved first and foremost. The untoward generation has you already. You've got to be saved from it. You've got to be snatched from it. Just like Peter said in verse 38, repent. Turn your mind, your heart, your thoughts to Jesus Christ. Stop what you're doing. Stop what you're thinking and look to Jesus, who died for your sins, who died in your place, who was buried, who was crucified, buried, and risen again for you. And you've got to look to the cross and turn your back on sin and say, Jesus, I need to be saved today. I need to be saved from this untoward generation. At the end of the road, if I don't get saved, there's a place called hell that I'll go to. And you know what? Never was meant for you. It was never meant for me. Meant for the devil and his angels. The lake of fire is not meant for you. Maybe today you need to accept that gift of love because God loves you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Just for a moment, consider the untoward generation. Consider Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Consider where your plans will take you this summer. Consider the friends that you're going to be involved with. Consider the family you'll be involved with. Consider your travel. Consider the trips. Consider your relaxation, the things you'll relax around. What will you expose yourself to? One of the things that you need to expose yourself to is a local church, wherever you go. Make sure you get in it, be a part of it. Do what God would have you to do while you're in it until you come back over the summer. Make sure that you can come back with a clean heart, a clean mind, clean direction. But oh, if you fall, there's still 1 John 1:9, one of the promises. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many would be honest today and say, preacher, you know what? I'm saved today. I've been saved from this untoward generation. One day I've made a decision to trust Christ. I repented of my sins. My life reflects that. I know I'm born again. If I died today, I'd know I'd go to heaven. You'd raise a hand and testimony to Almighty God. God, I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again today. Amen, amen. Hands going up all over the place. You may put them down. How many would say, preacher, you know, I've never accepted Jesus Christ and his salvation. You know, if the truth be known, if I die today, there's a chance I might go to hell. I don't want to go there, but there's a chance I may go. Would you pray for me today? And you raise your hand up and say, pray for me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. Man, woman, boy, or girl, you raise that hand. I'm not talking about joining this church. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about, are you righteous? Are you born again? And you say, preacher, I'm not born again. I'm not righteous today. Pray for me. Anyone at all? Amen. Christian, how about it? Do you want to live in the untoward generation? Do you want to get past this untoward generation? Do you want to be able to avoid this untoward generation that's around you? Well, it's clear. You need preaching. You need pricking. You need the promises. And you need some progress to stay away from it. Do what these disciples did here. And God gives you the formula right here. The local church has the answers for you. Father, meet the needs of this church today. Many are the needs that are here today. Maybe one that's not born again. Lord, I don't know the hearts and the minds of people, but maybe someone was unwilling to raise their hand or could not raise their hand or afraid to raise their hand, whatever the reason. Holy Spirit, give them the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding to make that choice and that decision. They're amongst people that love them. Most of all, God who loves them and gave heaven's best for them. And I pray they can be saved today. For Christians, help us to make sure we avoid the untoward generation, the things that marks it, and do what you would have us to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand to our feet, no one looking around. As the invitation is played and sang, let God speak to your heart. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, give me the grace to live in this untoward generation. As I travel, as I go on trips, as I'm around family. Maybe around friends.
To follow Jesus.
Lord, help me to stay in a local church.
I have
help me to be there every
Sunday. To follow
help
Jesus.
Me to find it quickly.
I have
how about it? Maybe there's a loved one you need to pray for when we're on the trip.
Jesus.
Maybe you pray for that loved one.
No turning back.
Maybe that husband, that wife.
No turning
maybe that son,
back.
That daughter.
No
maybe children are involved in activities. God, keep them from the untoward generation when they're involved
their
activities this summer, their sports activities, their extracurricular activities,
the
things they'll be involved in, their enjoyments and amusements. God, help them to avoid the untoward generation. God, help them.
The cross before me.
How about it today? Maybe
no
you can say,
turning back.
God loves you.
No turning
Jesus died for you.
Back.
He wants to save you today.
Though none
hey, friend, I was just like you.
Me,
27 years old.
I will find
involved in the untoward generation.
Though none go
pulling
with me
here and there.
So I will find.
Then I heard some preaching. I got pricked. I saw the promise. Whosoever should call upon the Lord should be saved. And guess what? I reached out. And I got saved that day. February 3rd, 1990.
No turning back.
Maybe today, sir. Maybe you today, ma'am.
No,
maybe you'll step out and say, I need to be saved today. I need to be born again.
I have decided.
The untoward generation is pulling. Crowding in on us. Invading every space that we have. Forcing itself upon us. Can you stay clear of it? Can you avoid it? The only way.
I have decided.
Peter said, repent, therefore. Be baptized, therefore. They gladly received the word. They were baptized. They continued steadfastly. They continued daily.
The world behind.
Praising God, having faith. How about you?
The cross.
Is God calling you today? Maybe the Holy Spirit's warning you to avoid something. Something in that untoward generation. Oh, maybe you're involved in religion. Ritual, routine. Maybe you're rejected. But only Christ and His righteousness can save you today. I've decided to follow Jesus. One more stanza, we'll sing, and then we'll close.
Though none go with me,
though none go with me, still I will follow.
Still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow.
None may go with you in the untoward generation. You may have to go all by yourself.
Go with
will you follow?
Me,
still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back.
No turning back. Turning back.
Father, thank you once again for Peter's encouragement inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to save themselves from this untoward generation. And God is just as untoward today as it was in Peter's day. Lord, we have so many things that can detract us away and pull us away and bombard us along the way. And God, over the summer months, we need to stay clear inside the local church. No vacillating. No wavering, but being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God, help us now as we involve ourselves and engage in activities over the summer to be mindful of the movies, the music, the magazines, the media that is untoward, not going toward Christ and godliness, but will pull us into ungodliness and unrighteousness. Lord, help us to avoid it by the pricking and the preaching of your word. Holding the promises and progressing as we go. The devil would love nothing more than to pull us down and to dirty us up and to taint us. But God, when we fall, help us to remember if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse of all unrighteousness. Thank you for the precious blood that saves us and cleanses us from our sin. I dismiss your blessings. Lord, have your hands upon the activities that we'll partake of this afternoon. Bring us back this evening. For the fellowship and the time of teaching and preaching of the Vacation Bible School charge. Pastor White, if you would come.